With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
You're tuned into SEC Sunday Night. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Hit the lights. It is Sunday night. Welcome to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network and proudly presented by Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. Brad and Dean are there for you. They are on your team, and they've won tens of millions of dollars for their clients, over $1 million settlement for many clients. They're on the list for personal injury insurance, dog bites, stair falls, you name it. Call Brad and Dean at Hewitt Domodiros Law, HDLawSC.com. This is SEC Sunday Night, and I am Rob Williams. He is Craig McMichael. Craig, what is going on? I need to breathe for a second, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. But you tell me, how you doing? How we living tonight? Everything going well?
Things are good. We are in spring break, a little early, which is a good thing. Break did not come soon enough. I think probably some fans in the SEC will want to know, does Brad and Dean help you if you want to get rid of your coach, whether that's in baseball or basketball or football? You know, maybe you don't have a wrongful, maybe they have a complaint.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll maybe see. So.
Probably not.
We'll see. I'll put a call in and see if they can handle that, but I'm not really sure what that entails. But we are going to get into some coaching issues. I just want to take a moment here and say I've got a new computer. I've got a new setup going on tonight. We've got a Blaine Crane getting engaged. Shout out and congrats to Blaine. I'm not sure that he's going to be with us tonight due to his celebrations, but we're still going to talk Auburn football. So a lot of things happening here on SEC Sunday night. As you said, it is spring break, and so we're excited about that as well, doing a little extra family stuff this week too. So we're running at 100 miles an hour, right. But we're talking about Auburn football. And oh, by the way, let's not bury the lead here, Craig. We have a bracket, right? And as we're on the air tonight, we'll have a women's bracket as well. I want to get into that in just a little bit. Chris Marler's going to be with us later on the show. Casey will be here, as always, to talk about the boards with us. In the world of sports this week, though, so many things to talk about. Let's get into our scores around the league. First and foremost, of course, as I said, today is Selection Sunday. We have men's and women's brackets. We have a bracket for the men already. Like I said, women's is coming here in about 27 minutes. We'll have that ready for you before the end of the show to kind of look at where some of the top SEC teams land and who may not have made it in. The latest bracketology had a couple of teams. I know Texas A&M and Mississippi State right on the outside of the bubble as far as projections earlier this afternoon. On the men's side, we're going to look a little bit at where we see some of these SEC teams falling and who's going to make the deepest run in this one. We had a phenomenal SEC championship game today, Craig, between Vanderbilt and Arkansas. I have not made a Chandler Bing joke all year. I did see one on Twitter today that said, I wonder if when Chandler Bing travels, his coaches yell at him to pivot. And it was the best joke that I've seen. If you're not familiar, Vanderbilt actually has a player named Chandler Bing. I'm unfamiliar with the story. If somebody could fill me in, I would love to hear it. I'm not sure if his parents were super fans of the show Friends or if this was just some very happy coincidence, but it is not Chandler Bong. It is Chandler Bing of the Vanderbilt Commodores, but they fell today to the Arkansas Razorbacks, a team that we have been on for months, Craig. A team that we said in the preseason, watch out for Cal and Arkansas because they have the type of roster, they have the type of experience, and they have the coach to be absolutely lethal come tournament time. They proved it in the SEC tournament, cut their way all the way through. I do want to give a shout-out to Ole Miss, the 15 seed, who made quite the run and took Arkansas to overtime yesterday in the semifinals. Vanderbilt took down one seed Florida, which was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of people. But there was a handful that out there that had them picked. So exciting game today. Really back and forth. Guys are playing their guts out in the SEC championship game. Something for us to talk about here in just a bit.
How do you think that plays in Lexington? Well, how do you think that plays in Lexington? Cal's got the SEC championship. Pope continues, as we're gonna see in a little bit later. Pope, I feel like, has been on the hot seat all year long. What do you think that does for Lexington? Is that like we were done with Cal, we're moving on, or is that just maybe another little bitter pill to swallow with Cal winning for the Razorbacks?
I think they have to be done with him and move on, but it is definitely a bitter pill to swallow. We've talked all year about how upset they've been, and we have a lot of fun with the message boards and where fans stand, and we're going to get into that here in just a little bit as well. But we know they haven't been happy with Mark Pope. Now, fans and administration are two different things. As we know, fans can be emotionally reactive, and administrations are not supposed to be emotionally reactive, even though at times we know that they are as well. We would prefer that our administrations have a little more level-headedness, weigh the options, look at the financial implications, look at the long-term projections, and make decisions with a little more sound mind. And sometimes it's time to call it, right? Sometimes it's time to cut bait, and people, it's going to have to end their tenure at any given school. And then there's other times where decisions are made to hang on. I'll go outside of the league here for just a minute. And this has been discussed on the Chief Sports Network a lot this week because of the proximity to the school. And maybe I should say this conversation for Casey, but Clemson fans wanted to fire Brad Brownell for years. And the breakthrough that's happened for them over the past handful of years where he's become a consistent tournament appearance type of coach, statistically, I think J.C. Sherbert said this earlier this week. I believe it was him. If not, somebody on the family of shows here. By the numbers, Brad Brownell is the best coach that Clemson's ever had in basketball. Now, can you say that Rick Barnes is a better overall coach? And yeah, of course. But I'm talking about at Clemson in terms of consistency going to the tournament. What we've seen with Brownell has been really impressive and kind of out of the ordinary for a program that like Clemson, who once was not that consistent in being there. Now we see them there every year. Yep. And so you can make an argument for being patient on the one hand, because things can take a turn over time. And sometimes guys do better in a different era as things move forward. I just don't know about the Kentucky situation, Craig, to be honest with you. There's a lot of sour grapes, especially given not just where they stand with Mark Pope and an estimated $22 million roster, which even though numbers are up across the league, dwarfs the rest of the conference in terms of dollars spent. But also on the other side, you have John Calipari doing what he's doing. And I strongly believe they will make a run. Let's look at these baseball scores really quick. Then we're going to jump.
I have a Kentucky take for you, actually.
A Kentucky basketball take or baseball take? Yeah,
basketball take.
Okay.
So here's the challenge, and I think this is where the future of Mark Pope lies. Next weekend, they're going to play Michigan, and Michigan is a juggernaut this year. As much as it pains me, even though I'm wearing my Michigan lacrosse shirt tonight on SEC Sunday Night. That game, I'm gonna put it out here. Maybe take your freezing cold take early. The Kentucky Michigan game will decide Mark Pope's future for 2027.
You know, that's really interesting. And you look at where it lands in the bracket, and that's a lot of the discussion that I want to have here in just a few minutes.
Sure.
That game could very well, like what you're saying, have a lot of bearing on where he ends up. The brackets are so interesting because of where the matchups land and what round you get them in, because where you go out, as you said, has a lot of weight on how successful or unsuccessful your season may have been.
Yep.
Where if you're a team that's going to get matched up with a buzzsaw like Michigan, or let's say like Houston, or maybe you're a bad matchup for St. John's and Rick Pitino, and you get them early as opposed to later on in the situation, I think that you would have lost to them anyway, right? And we have to have the foresight to be able to see, like, well, we just caught them in the round of 32 instead of the Elite Eight, like another team, and look at the pass. No. You're right. I'm not talking about Kentucky specifically now. I'm talking about teams in general.
Sure.
Judges, the people, coaches, and programs will be judged based on where they come out of the tournament. But it is very matchup based, and you have to look at who they're playing and what they're running into. All right, let's look at the baseball scores a little bit, and we'll get back over to basketball for sure. Speaking of Kentucky, they're doing okay on the diamond. Swept Alabama this weekend. Florida swept South Carolina. Gamecocks only three innings all weekend.
What's going on, dude?
A very competitive and fun Friday night with Josh Gunther and Valentin and Brandon Stone pitching for the Gamecocks. And you have a no-hitter through 9 2/3 for South Carolina's staff. And then going into the tenth inning, Florida walks it off and wins the game 1-0 there in the bottom of the 10th. So they were able to stretch that one into extras. Not altogether non-competitive on Saturday, 3-0 Florida, as the staff for South Carolina was still able to hold the Gators pretty much in check, but then just wrecked, run ruled today, 13-3 and 7. You asked me what's going on. We don't have time on the show right now for me to get into everything that's going on, but there's a handful of things that's going on. You know, when you look at the approach at the plate.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this. Even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Errors have all of a sudden become an issue. You saw that happen against Citadel during the midweek when South Carolina lost that game 8-3. And you have pitchers on the staff who have shown the ability to be up there in the SEC in terms of their stuff. And then we've seen guys who can handle it under the lights and play. And Josh Gunther did that on Friday night, and so did Brandon Stone. But there may not be the depth needed to get through the entire weekend. And you want to obviously be able to get one of those games on Friday, Saturday. Amp Phillips has been the most consistent, although it hadn't been the shutout type numbers that Gunther had against Clemson and then against Florida. Amp has been pretty consistent in just giving up a few runs and getting them into good position. So, but yeah, not a good look for the Gamecocks, who once sat atop the college baseball world. Speaking of the top, Arkansas and Mississippi State in a top five matchup, and Arkansas wins on Friday and Sunday to take the series. Georgia wins the series over Tennessee. Oklahoma wins their series over Texas A&M. Vanderbilt, who's been really scuffling. We kind of hinted at it, joked about it, laughed a little bit here last week. Takes down LSU on Friday and then and on Saturday to win the series. LSU won the rubber match today and then or later yesterday. And then Auburn sweeps Missouri. Texas gets their first loss of the year on Friday night to Ole Miss, but ultimately wins that series as well. So a little bit of chalk and a handful of surprises in there, I think, when we look at the SEC. little bit of chalk, and then a handful of surprises. Speaking of chalk, again, the NCAA tournament bracket has been released, and we're excited to dive into all of that. But first, let's take a look at Auburn, Craig. And I know we talked about Blaine missing out tonight. Congratulations again on the engagement and prolonged celebrations. We're excited for our friend over there at Crane and Cone and on three. When we look at Auburn, the first thing, Craig, that I think that you and I have to acknowledge is that we've missed, and we've missed badly the past 2 years. We've both taken a risk and picked them to be pretty successful.
Yep.
And that is not, it has not worked out for us because they were not successful under Hugh Freeze towards the end, right?
No, dumpster fire, I think, was the better term to, you know, probably better characterization of whatever happened to Hugh Freeze.
So when you look at this year, Alex Golish has come in. He's brought some of his staff from USF. He brought, most notably, his quarterback, Byron Brown, from USF, who's a dual-threat guy. I love the Golish system. I love the fact that we have consistency with quarterback, an older, experienced quarterback who's going to be able to come in, who beat Florida last year, is not going to be come in scared of the SEC. What are the things that jump out to you with this Auburn program, either positive or negative? As we look at this year, we will come back around and pick the schedule at the end. And I think it's kind of a 50-50 ball type of schedule. There's some stretches where I'm like, oof. And then there's some other stretches that aren't too bad. So what just jumps off the page to you when we talk about this Auburn program going into 2026?
We are now reaching year 6 or 7, and I still don't feel great about Auburn football in general. I mean, that's the question. I mean, Golsh kind of was a out of the box hire. I don't think either one of us saw that as like that was the name we were thinking going to Auburn. I think we looked at like John Summerall, we looked at DJ Durkin possibly, you know, taking that role. I like Golsh. He, you know, obviously the offense works. It does. Tennessee runs it. Ole Miss runs a version of it. Mississippi State will run a version of it. It's the old veer and shoot from Baylor. But the question becomes, yes, UCF has transported their roster to Auburn. How does that go for the SEC? In that system, you need big play wide receivers. Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton Jr. are both gone. Those were your playmakers. Those were your big wide receivers. The other question I have, too, is that offense is so dynamic and so strong. You know what it's not very strong against? Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. Kirby Smart has been very effective against that system. Ask your Tennessee Volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Final question I have, I know I'm kind of all over the board here, but these are like the questions I have. How does it work with DJ Durkin? Part of me surprised that DJ stuck around as defensive coordinator. I think he was thinking he was going to get the head coaching job. A cloudy history at best. Some issues at Maryland. Probably make him not get the head coaching job. But as I look at it, I still am not sure if Auburn is truly going to be fixed. Or if we're going to get really excited again this year and say, hey, maybe they're going to be 8-5. And then they're going to go 5-7 for what seems like the sixth year in a row.
Here's my question about expectations. And, you know, typically during this segment, we're looking at coaching additions. It's a brand new staff, right? And like we said, he brought some guys over from USF. And I think we all kind of thought Golish was going to Arkansas.
Yep.
And then the way that
reported earlier that week, that Tuesday, and, I believe, was open.
And the contacts that I had said that was the case. And those were trusted contacts. I thought that we were really leaning that way.
Yep.
Then as the carousel continued to spin and Summerall got pulled to Florida because they weren't going to get Lane Kiffin, there was a potential of Summerall to Ole Miss. But really, he just got pulled out of that Auburn conversation, and they pivoted and grabbed Golish away from Arkansas. And you kind of see the trickle down in the tier structure of the SEC in the way that those that coaching carousel was spinning. It's weird to me that we have a brand new coaching staff, and I don't feel the need to talk about the coaches as much. Nor do I feel as much pull to talk about the personnel, even though obviously that's a big deal. There were significant defensive pieces that chose to move on off of Durkin's defense last year. And one thing that we can say is that the defense, given the right situation, could be very salty last year. And if they could hold that together, then there was some promise this year getting a new offensive system in. Okay. And you kind of noted how that offensive system performs against the rest of the SEC and how we've seen it from other coaches and their variations and what that looks like. But the biggest thing that sticks out to me and the thing that I feel like that we have to focus on is how do we set our expectations? Because for one, like I said before, you and I have been very wrong and off in the way that we've set our expectations the past couple of years. But I feel like in general, the narrative around Florida, I hold them one in the same a lot of times. The narrative around Auburn is one that gets placed in the wrong place a lot of times. We put that peg kind of at the wrong height. I think that we set the bar too high for them in terms of what our expectations are. You said, are we going to get excited they're going to go 8-5? I think a win for Golish this year is to make a bowl game, and they would not say that. Auburn fans would not say that. I would venture a guess to say that a lot of Auburn media would not say that, but I'm going to step back and look at it from the standpoint of the league and how do you build a program? You can't jump from your words, dumpster fire, to 9-3 plus in 1 year very easily. Now, we've seen outliers of this happening, and everybody wants to point, and I mentioned this last week, everybody wants to point to Cignetti and Indiana and what they're able to do. Mm-hmm. But last year, when it kind of springboarded, they benefited from a more favorable schedule in the Big Ten, and we saw it kind of catch up to them in the playoff, and they were able to continue to grab momentum and go out and put a much more talented roster together, in all honesty, this year for the national championship team than what he had in year one. But again, that's an outlier. I don't think that we can expect John Summerall and Alex Golish and Ryan Silverfield and everybody else who comes in as a first-year head coach to go 9-3 in year one and make a deep playoff run in year two. I don't think that's realistic, but if Alex Golish hits 6-6 or 7-5 this year and then pushes for 9 or 10 wins next year and is right around the playoff conversation, then I think that is kind of how you build it and what looks a little bit different. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, but like, I think here's the secret sauce, right? And I think this is what John Cohen is hoping for. We can talk about John Cohen because he is not on our list of
that is true.
Athletic directors in the SEC. But I think what they're hoping for, it's not Cignetti going to the college football playoff, going to a national championship, but it's that consistency. It's what Oklahoma State did when they brought in North Texas's coach, right? We're going to take the entire offense and we're going to bring everybody along. Everyone's going to kind of know the system. Everyone's going to kind of know we're going to plug and play it. So I think what Auburn is hoping for is goals can put up 25, 30 points against most everybody. DJ Durkin proved last year that he can hold teams into that 17 points or less. So we can start having a conversation about 8 or 9 wins, getting that momentum in the first year so that then we can kind of build off and maybe we see something like a college football playoff again and start meeting that expectation. So it's like, I get the understanding of it. I just worry about the translation, especially when you see like the two top receivers, the two top offensive threats there last year, you know, are now playing in Florida and Texas.
Yeah, I think the other thing that we can note here, speaking of the offense, is a major turnover on the offensive line. And this is something that we talked about and noted a little bit with South Carolina, where, you know, in the case of the Gamecocks, the offensive line played very poorly last year, and so it was expected to see some movement there. But in both cases, you have a pretty significant change in philosophy and offensive system. And so
you're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Changing the offensive linemen that are coming in to fit that system makes a lot of sense. And so you saw, if you go look at it, the number of offensive linemen that left Auburn and then the number of linemen they brought in, specifically tackles that they brought in, looks like they're kind of just changing the body type or the skill set that they want along the line of scrimmage. Yep. And that's going to set up to run that quarterback a little bit more, I think, and be more balanced in terms of what they need for Byron Brown this year and moving forward under the Golish system, where you're going to have somebody who's going to look to be a true dual threat. And that's what Brown has. That's what we've seen Brown be able to do with, he's in rare air with his, passing and rushing single season numbers. Now, go ahead.
I think there lies the secret sauce of Auburn. Who was the last great Auburn quarterback? The reason Hugh Freeze did not work at Ole Miss, he worked at Ole Miss. The reason he did not work at Auburn.
Well, there's a different reason he didn't work at Ole Miss.
Yeah, there was. There's a phone conversation that went awry, or allegedly something happened there. But the reason why Hugh didn't work at Auburn is he never had a quarterback. Peyton Thorne was never the guy. You know, Jackson Arnold, we may have said that he wasn't the guy, yet we still picked him 9-3 last year. That's okay. That's just me not being a very good prognosticator or following my own advice. Byron Brown is that opportunity for Auburn fans. When Auburn is successful, Nick Hill, Cam Newton, they have a quarterback that can run, that can throw, that can do something else. And I know those are different offenses and different coaching staff.
It's always been guys like Nick Marshall and Cam Newton. And, you know, and those are completely different players as well, because Cam was a run you over rocket arm. Nick Marshall was not even not a great passer is a nice way of saying it, but he was
Georgia would beg to differ.
He was electric. Well, if you tip one up for him, then it works out.
It does.
Electric with his legs and just calling the offense in a way that complements the pieces that you have, I think is something that we may see out of Golish. And again, we need to tamper these expectations. And I think not to give anything away, but if we can see them get to 6 or 7 wins this year, then I'm applauding Alex Golish and I'm saying good job. Because when you make a coaching change in the SEC, oftentimes you're going to lose a ton of the roster, and then it's going to take a whole lot of money to rebuild it and put it back together. We just saw LSU put $40 million into the roster for Lane Kiffin. Now, I know it's going to pain you to say this, Craig, but LSU is a different animal in terms of recruiting because they have a little bit of a story to sell because they're LSU. And
they have some strong ass offers.
And that was what I was going to say. And if you have $40 million, then you don't even have to necessarily be LSU to sell it. Not everybody is throwing around that kind of cash that made a coaching change. We look at the schools that made coaching changes, and you see players exit. And then, you know, everybody's got money. Everybody's spending well for the most part in the SEC, but you still have to have a GM that's helping you spend that money in a wise way. And how are we going to divvy this up, and who are we going to pay, and how much are we going to pay them, as opposed to some schools that are in a little bit of a different atmosphere in terms of what their cap is. It's almost, you know, Dodgers and Yankees when we're looking at teams like Texas and Texas A&M and the money that they have to throw around.
And Golish did bring it over his GM. He brought over his staff. That whole staff came over with him from USF, so they are familiar with it. And I believe, you know, our Uncle Tony will always tell us from my last year in college football, don't always believe all the numbers out there. But there were numbers of $20 to $25 million being guaranteed for Golish, to come to Auburn. That kind of seems about like that going rate of if you're going to be competitive and you want to dip your toe in the water in the SEC. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen. And, you know, I'm excited to pick this because, I don't know, it's like starting to believe again a little bit, Rob. Starting to get a little happy feet here.
Well, and that is the weird thing with them, because neither of us would say that we're anywhere – that I would say at best I'm very indifferent about them.
Listen, I just want Jordan Hare to be exciting at night, okay?
But for some reason, we get this level of excitement when it comes to them. All right, it's 8:28 here on SEC Sunday Night. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be right back with Casey Cregan, the producer of the Message Board Genius podcast, for It Just Means More, Genius.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
Oh, man. The building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete recovering from injury or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
Yo, what's up? Baby, let's go!
This is SEC Sunday Night on the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night, live on the Chiefs Sports Network and proudly presented by Hewitt Diamandouros Law. We are now joined, as always, by the esteemed and talented, award-winning, multifaceted, skilled, trophy hoisting, silky smooth voice of one Casey Cregan.
Is that world's greatest pillow talk?
We only have like 10 minutes, Rob. So, I mean, all these adjectives and superlatives, you know.
In that case, let's go to the first board. It's great to have you as always, my friend. We have some fun stuff tonight as we have a bracket. Have you filled your bracket out yet, Casey?
I have not, but I did hand write my bracket Pat
pencil? Ford.
No, it's in pen.
I saw it on the photo that you sent us, and I am as a millennial, appalled.
These little sheets brackets are so
small. That's your Gen Alpha.
Ha ha. True. Yeah. I'm starting high school next year. It's going to be so fun. All right.
All right.
Let's get into it.
MBG says Oklahoma is keeping Porter Moser. Now, that was the game that you and I sat together for, I think. South Carolina and Oklahoma were.
Indeed, it was.
Win, but. We got some people I don't think that are very happy down there in wherever that city is that Oklahoma resides. So we got F. Scott 2025 just says, what a total clown show. And he adds Pete Thamel's, tweet and says Oklahoma athletic director Roger Denny tells ESPN that Porter Moser will return to the Sooners next year. They met this morning and spoke about building the program for 26-27, including increased resources throughout the program and specifically NIL for players. And then we have Soon Lobo says it's pathetic how little attention OU, oh my God, OU gives men's basketball. Moser remaining one more year is ridiculous. The university is not serious about men's basketball. What the heck is this guy's name? Remini K81 says anytime you have an opportunity to keep a coach that has made the 68 team NCAA tournament one time in 5 years, you absolutely have to do it. And finally, we have Sooner Heartland One says, make this madness stop. Move on from PM. So I got to be honest. Since Sister Jean passed away, how good is Porter Moser? You know?
What are you saying, Izzy?
He doesn't have the Catholic
real magic power.
I think Sister Jean had a little voodoo going on up there.
Sister Jean had – maybe it was the Wiener Circle. You ever been to the Wiener Circle in Chicago?
I'm sorry. What did you just say?
The Wiener Circle in Chicago. Probably one of the best places for a Chicago hot dog. You've never been there, Rob?
Italian beef?
I have not.
All right. As you cut this, JC, please tell us all about why the Wiener Circle is one of the best stops in Chicago and why you should get a Chicago dog.
It's true.
You should. Okay. I love the fact, by the way, that anytime you have a coach miss a 68 team field four to 5 years, you definitely have to do it.
I love it. That was a good one. That's always a good one for the boards. When that comes up on the boards, you know, yeah. I love that.
That burning popcorn is just like, I think just summarizes.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Oklahoma's run to the NIT championship this year.
Are you saying these teams opting out, though? Seton Hall just opted out. Virginia Tech opted out of the NIT. I don't like that trend, guys.
The NIT's dead. Let's throw our money towards the whatever the Vegas tournament is that has NIL implications. But I think that's going to be the new NIT.
Well, I can jump on board that, but I heard the CBI is not happening this year. So what do we got?
Yeah, whatever that Vegas one is, they've played it the past couple of years. I'll look it up in the break.
I can read about it.
You read, I'll Google.
All right, MBG says, poor Auburn never gets the benefit of the doubt. About that time says, does anyone think we will ever get the benefit of the doubt? We are Auburn. Thank goodness for Cam Newton. Other than that, we aren't getting any favors ever. They aren't talking us no matter what. So you guys just spent an entire half a segment talking about Auburn. Obviously this about damn time needs to tune into SEC Sunday night.
Right.
Can we tag them? Somebody get the Auburn boards. Somebody get them on the line.
Can this you get MBG on that one?
This is a regular on the Message Board Geniuses podcast. This message board.
Yeah. Like
we
probably sorry. You. Like you were, what are they, one game over 500? They had a couple of nice wins over like St. John's. Stop. You weren't very good.
I don't have an argument necessarily for Auburn. I do have an argument against Miami of Ohio, though.
That's just because you don't like the Northern folks in Ohio.
No, it's not at all. But if you don't play any quad one games, then I'm sorry.
They tried. Everyone was scared.
That's not my problem.
Well,
they should have found it. Auburn tried too, and they scheduled like the top five hardest schedule in the country, and they beat three top 16 teams. That's why they have losses.
It's hard to pre-think your schedule like and think that they were going to be. Those things are done 6 years, 7 years in advance outside of the like in-season tournaments.
Is it easy to give up a season like 3 weeks before and just give the team to your kid because you know you're not going to be very good?
The MAC needs more love.
Hey, okay, I got it. The College Basketball Crown is a 16-team postseason tournament held in Las Vegas. It began in 2025, and it's an alternative to the NIT. They play at MGM and T-Mobile Arena.
Let's go.
But if I remember correctly, there are tie-ins to pay these guys to go play there. So it makes sense that teams would want to be a part of it.
The old heads that are loving the NIT are not going to be happy, though. And I'm sorry, Craig, I stepped on your joke before.
That's fine. You can step on it. It wasn't very good. If it was good, you would have left. Let's be honest. Listen, you can't always bat 1,000.
This brain, though, once I had something to say, I just checked out of anything that anybody says. But MBG says, Mark Pope said a naughty hashtag fire everybody. Pope said the F word. And on 175-976-8907. I think I've read his post before. He says, speaking of F words, fire Pope.
We talked about this too.
Yep.
We talked about this too. It's
I don't think he lasts. I think he's done.
He thinks that we're hanging it on the Michigan game.
I'm putting it on the Michigan
game. I heard that. I was in the green room eating all the yellow M&Ms that I put on my rider. And they're delicious, by the way. So thank you, you guys. But, yeah,
you're welcome.
Don't,
our people work hard on that.
I mean, this is also the worst argument in the world that I'm about to give is, who are you going to get?
I hear people.
You punch the reset button. You get whoever the hot name is. Who's the coach of St. Louis who has Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? And as they make their little run, when he runs the Sweet 16, we're going to go bring in the guy from St. Louis. We get a little excitement. We're ready to go. Maybe you go take Dusty May from Michigan. Why not?
Truth be told, Bob Ritchie should get that job at Furman, but he won't.
If they can take Dusty May from Michigan, Craig, I will be in favor of this move. Otherwise, they can take John Shire from Duke.
You are Kentucky basketball.
Otherwise, you don't hit the reset button on a gamble mid-major coach. You do not. Not this quickly.
There's already talk that Will Wade's going back to LSU.
Right.
There's a lot of chatter.
After 1 year at NC State.
Do we trust Vern to do that?
I don't know who Vern. No, Vern, yeah. I thought you were talking to Vern Funquist.
No, I'm talking the AD and Baton Rouge. We'll, you know what? We'll save that for Marler.
Yeah, he's in Baton Rouge. Yeah. All right. You ready for this?
Didn't we already talk about them? I should have timed these up better. My apologies, boys.
Man, they just keep coming back.
You know, producing isn't easy, Rob.
That's what I hear.
MBG says, well-placed sources tell MBG that Alabama may have to win the SEC tournament in order to get into the NCAA tournament. Did I read that right? Jabba says rumblings that Alabama must win the SEC tournament to get in the NCAA tournament. NCAA could deny entry into the tournament for cheating and trying to embarrass them in court and will delay court hearings if it goes in that direction. Winning the SEC championship could be their only option since the record wouldn't matter and that would prove their guilt.
Shut up. Alabama finally, you know what they did? They got rid of the G Leaguer and they started playing better because they said, hey, these are the guys in our room. And they started playing a hell of a lot better than they did with that guy. So they'll be just fine. Sorry, Auburn. We did not have anyone come against Alabama, or there's no conspiracy theory in Birmingham.
What?
Just stop it. That brought to you by Meemaw.
You know what's funny? Here's another thing to say for Marler, but he had a tweet about when Ole Miss beat Alabama in the tournament and they interviewed a guy who was previously pro in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that plays for Ole Miss in the post game after beating Alabama. intentional or not, absolutely hilarious move. So shout out to the network for that. Okay, let's keep going.
All right.
I'm not sure how this one got in here, but Craig picks the boards. So
MBG says, can Syracuse go back to the curtain. Big East? The ACC is too hard. Can we go back to the Big East? Says Blust2i3d4. ACC is too competitive. Actually, we are the only team that did not show any toughness in ACC tournament today. Bonus question. Guess which sports BC won over UConn this calendar year? BC 29, 27, UConn 19.
Was that, it wasn't football. Was it?
Yeah, no. I think so.
What are your comments here, Mr. Lax? This was, I'm assuming you planted this.
So we
can talk about lacrosse.
So Syracuse in the Big East for lacrosse would be phenomenal. But I am all about bringing back the Big East Conference for college football. One, it made Thursday nights a hell of a lot more enjoyable than whatever I have to watch on Amazon Prime for the NFL. So put that trash back. Give me back my Big East football. Put Syracuse back there. Put Cincinnati back there. West Virginia.
Let's Miami, go. Rutgers, USF.
Right. Maybe give Louisville. Miami a chance to actually win a conference championship.
We got one more board. I'm not really sure I want to put it up here and give let Casey have the pleasure of reading it, but
time to cook.
I'm going to do it anyway.
All right. MBG says South Carolina does not belong in the SEC.
We've heard that one before. We've had this exact board like three times.
I swear we've had it. I think we had it on our show too. I pull for USC. Says Paris returning to is exhibit A for why we don't belong in the SEC. There's near universal sentiment that Paris should be fired, but it appears USC is going to retain him either due to the fact that we are too poor to be a member of the SEC or we have 100-plus year tolerance for sporting failure. South Carolina likes to masquerade like we are a, quote, football school, end quote. In reality, when it comes to men's sports, we are a, quote, nothing school, end quote. We are the playground pipsqueak who stands next to the bullies and yells, quote, yeah, get 'em, Bama, end quote. We bring nothing to the conference in men's sports, and we are not even trying to compete in one of the two major sports. It shouldn't be acceptable, and if a new round of conference realignment comes along in the SEC, in which the SEC is evaluating whether some of its current members are up to snuff, we should be first on the chopping block. What say you, Mr. Williams?
The numbers kind of speak for themselves. Now,
what do the numbers say, Rob?
We have to look at the numbers over the past 18 months for the numbers to show this story. Okay, so I don't want to be too nearsighted because being too nearsighted causes us to really launch Vanderbilt up above a bunch of people in the league as well. If we look at statistically who had better winning percentage in combined football and basketball percentages this year, does anybody know the number one school? Anybody want to take a shot at it? Yeah, that would be the Doors. So let's not get too zoomed in, or we're going to all of a sudden start saying that Vanderbilt is up at the top of the SEC in terms of programs. And I think that might be a little premature given the way that we're going to predict what happens to that football team next year. Okay, so but if we do zoom in super tight, then yeah, I mean, this is true. I don't think that South Carolina doesn't belong in the SEC. I totally reject that take over and over again. And it doesn't matter how many times we get this type of board, I'm going to continue to say, like, that's bogus. Get out of here with that. There's no way to say that they can't compete. The SEC has always been difficult. It's always been a dog-eat-dog world. It's always been the creme de la creme. It's always been everybody for everybody, every man for himself. Everybody that you play is going to be difficult. Week in and week out, it's a struggle. It's a war zone. We get it, okay? That really hasn't changed, and the Gamecocks have found success in all three of the major sports before, specifically in baseball. We saw what Steve Spurrier did in football. There was a Final Four appearance less than 10 years ago for the basketball team, so it can be done. Now, if we're looking at the past 18 months, this guy's right in terms of everything else that he said. Not the fact that they don't belong at the conference, but that against power competition, specifically basketball and baseball, has been really bad. It was a bad year on the football field last year for Shane Beamer, but overall, I don't think that this level of bottoming out is reflective of his tenure in Columbia either.
Would you rather?
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Rather have your conference championship game at Madison Square Garden with their Friday night fish fry. I'm just saying, Syracuse may be going back to the Big East, Rob.
All right.
Maybe South Carolina wants to.
Casey, thank you so much for reading our boards for us. It is SEC Sunday night. live on the Chief Sports Network, and it is time for another break as we end our segment here. It just means more. Genius, when we come back, Chris Marler's with us to talk about who knows what.
At TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, we believe true health and peak performance start with personalized care. Whether you're an athlete, recovering from injury, or just chasing your next personal best, we're here to guide your journey. With expert coaching, hands-on therapy, and transparent cash-based pricing, you get the care you need without the insurance red tape. One client drove 100 miles just to see us and said it was worth every mile. Contact us at trifitperformance.com or 803-353-5619. TriFit Physical Therapy and Performance, where recovery meets results.
When playing sports, you want a coach that will fight for you. At Hewitt Diamandouros Law Firm, we've got your back. Whether it's personal injury, insurance disputes, negligence, or wrongful death, our team delivers exceptional legal services that makes meaningful difference in the lives of the individuals and families we work for. Visit hdlawsc.com. hdlawsc.com. Hewitt Diamandouros, we're on your team.
OTC is go.
Thank you. Go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
FTM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STU is go.
LRD is go.
FRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
It's SEC Sunday Night, presented by Hewitt Diamandouros. Visit hdlawsc.com. It's go time.
Welcome back to SEC Sunday Night Live on the Chief Sports Network and proudly presented by Hewitt Diamandouros Law. We are now joined by Chris Marler coming in to crash the show because we continue to quote him week after week, and we throw his tweets up on the screen for you guys. And so that has earned us his presence in person. I'll use that in air quotes. Chris, what's going on? How you doing?
Yeah, I kept thinking I was in trouble. Usually when somebody, as Casey knows this, he's known me for a while. Anytime somebody's throwing up my tweets, I'm like, oh, shit, that's probably not great. But good to be here. How are things?
Great. Thanks for being here. You were never in trouble. They were perfectly trolled at the very sensitive Auburn Tiger fan. So, like, you know, if we can have that. And listen, we're, like, talking Auburn football all day today. We talked Auburn basketball, so, you know.
Listen, Chris, tonight we've talked about Auburn. We've talked about LSU. We've talked about the struggles that South Carolina has had. You're going to have a lot to say here. So I'm going to let you pick your poison. Do you want to start with the with basketball? Obviously, brackets are here for us to have a little bit of fun with, or the opening weekend of baseball in the league.
Not baseball. I have to cover South Carolina baseball, and I don't know if I can do that.
I agree.
It's so awful. I can't believe Casey's not smiling right
is
now.
Is it bad? How bad is it? I haven't heard.
Were posting before I came in here. You were showing the thing about on Board Geniuses about South Carolina. I wouldn't say seceding from the SEC.
I wasn't paying any attention. Was it bad?
The whole
shut thing, up, Craig.
They lost both of their first two games. They had four combined hits. It was the first time they've lost back-to-back games by scoring zero runs in 46 years. Which, to be honest, if you would have said that versus the first time it's happened since last weekend under Palmieri, either would be believable. They're so bad. There's no excuse for it because Mineri he's just so in over his head. They gave him resources. They gave him money. They have the seventh highest operating budget for any baseball program in the country. They gave him enough money to go out and buy 25 players and have the fourth best portal class, and they're just it's so tough, man. It's so tough to watch.
That sounds bad.
If I'll Rob, take the
did
opportunity,
you know about
Yeah, I do actually. And that's where I was going to take the opportunity for anybody out there who is listening or who hears this later on podcast or on archived view. And, you know, a lot of our listeners here on the Chief Sports Network are South Carolina Gamecocks. But if you're not and you have not already subscribed to the InsideTheGamecocks.com newsletter, I would love for you to go and do that as we continue to break down all things, give you updates on what's going on in the world of Gamecock athletics with J.C. Sherbert and Jamie Bradford. And J.B. had a great piece a couple of weeks ago kind of outlining the struggles at the plate specifically. And his baseball bulletin is phenomenal every single time. But when you look at the comparison in the approach in 23-24 to what we've had in 25 and now in 26, you can see kind of an alarming difference in terms of just how impatient they've been in not getting runners on base. And that has resulted in a lack of runs, Chris.
It's awful. It is. It's like, it's just, it's, I get frustrated when I watch football and dumb crap that happens, like pre-snap penalties will drive me up a wall. Like, just like bad baseball drives me more insane than anything else. Because it's just, there's just so many simple things to do. And you watch it today, you have the bases loaded, it results, if there's one out, you have the bases loaded, it results in a foul out, like a making out in like foul territory, which is like that's the most humiliating. I would rather strike out four times in a game than pop up in foul territory with the bases loaded. It's just everything. I don't believe, no matter who you're facing, like whoever's on the mound, whether it be Otani or 95 Randy Johnson, there's no way you can't find a way to scratch out more than four hits and 64 bets. And that is, it's just pathetic to an extent where you're like, if you cannot lay down a bunt, dude, lay down a bunch of bunts, only bunt, do something different. Like, it's not swinging the bat's not working. Swing it halfway. Just go right there. See what happens. It's lean into one. I will lose
my mind. Stick an elbow up.
It's also more frustrating knowing the talent that's on the roster and what you've seen them be able to produce in other places. They had a fantastic portal class and brought guys in who have hit the baseball elsewhere. Yeah. It's not like this is a new thing for them, not for South Carolina.
And the thing that sucks too is that I was going into the season. This is the second straight year South Carolina's had their Friday night opening day, however you want to phrase it, their ace, done for the year before they ever touch the field. And you want to talk about just a curse of athletics in the last calendar year. I mean, like Chloe Kitts was out for the year in basketball before the season ever started. She's like a returning All-American. They're still very good. It would be awesome if she was able to also play. And then you talk about like what happened so far in spring. You lose your best player from the portal because of a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, which I was dumb enough to be like on my show. I was like, surely they weren't playing a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. Like I saw some reports. There's no way that was accurate. They're like, Shane Beamer said it out of his own mouth on Ari Wasserman's show, which made me hate it even more. it was awful, man. It's been tough. And I think that you have to show the fans at some point you care enough about the program to cut ties with Maneri more than anything. I think like investing into baseball is a bigger opportunity, in my opinion. And there's been a lot of pushback when I've said this, but I think it's a better opportunity for the fans if you invest into that even more than men's basketball.
I don't disagree.
And I said to Rob before the show, too, like, cut ties now. Let Monty have it at least, you know, for the rest of the season. See if you can get some juice into that lineup. Do something different and see whether or not he's going to be the guy going forward. I don't know why they keep holding on to Monty.
You know what really it set it apart for me? And I have, like, a very unique – like situation just with my setup. I lived in Columbia for a long time. That's when I started covering South Carolina with like the Locked On show. And by the way, everything that you said, Rob, Inside the Gamecocks is incredible. You guys do such a great job. I try to talk about it like at any time there's an opportunity. It's just
a appreciate
great,
that.
Great spot for everyone to watch anything South Carolina related. The content's fantastic. The sport itself or the sports themselves have not been great, but now I'm over in Baton Rouge and still covering more like South Carolina, but also covering the SEC over here. And I remember last year when I started, we did this piece on Maneri, and it was like just like a fun piece for LSU. It was like, hey, let's talk about that last weekend between LSU and Mississippi State at whatever Mississippi State's old stadium was before they opened up that monstrosity, that incredible Duty Noble Field, right? And I'm like transcribing what he's saying out of his mouth. And he's like, you know, the SEC's always been great. They've always had but every Friday night starter is going to end up being a first, second round draft pick. They've been, you know, loaded for decades. That's never changed. And then South Carolina continues to spiral in baseball. And like a week or two later, he's in front of a mic and he goes, I just didn't think that, you know, the talent in the SEC was this level. And you're like, I know you personally said it to like our writers, like a couple, like it just drove me insane, which seems to be a recurring thing.
Well, you mentioned LSU and you look on the diamond and some people are panicking a little bit. I pumped the brakes on that for the time being.
Yeah.
Before conference play, but interesting weekend in Nashville. What's the vibe? We'll stick to baseball for just another moment since you said you didn't want to do that first. I told you I was gonna let you pick and then we got stuck here. Right. But what's the vibe in Baton Rouge? There's been a lot of obvious good vibes given the $40 million roster for Lane Kiffin and football is king everywhere. But this baseball thing is supposed to be Kalen Chio, by the way, 3 10s in gymnastics the other night. So we're not going to miss out on a shout out when it's due.
We cover it all, baby.
She was just so impressive. That was an incredible night for her. Yeah. But the baseball team.
Yeah. So here, I'll just drop this now. I love my jobs. I really do. But if
you're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog, if you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
If you want to hire me to jinx your least favorite team, have me move there. Because I've been in Baton Rouge, and they were top 10 in the preseason. Casey, when they beat Clemson, everyone here, and kind of including me, was like, they're the best team in the country. And you're like, yeah, because Clemson, I thought Clemson was going to be, I hate to say this, I thought Clemson was going to be like national championship caliber because of that defense.
Yeah, I bought the juice too.
It makes sense for you to buy it, but I was like all over it. And so like then, so that happens and they go 7-6 and then basketball, you like didn't think they were going to be good. The baseball stuff is interesting because they've had slow starts before, but the Case and Evans experiment for me at least needs to, maybe you give him one more chance out there on Friday night, but like, I think you might just need to switch something up at the very least to where I don't think you put him in the bullpen, but maybe he's your Sunday guy where there's less pressure coming out of the gates on Friday. Or maybe you switch him and Schmidt, or you put Cooper Moore out there as a Friday night guy. I don't know, but it's just like, they just cannot figure out how to get on the same page. Like when the pitching's great, they can't hit. When they're like lighting up the scoreboard and scoring a ton of runs, like they can't seem to like to pitch their way out of anything. And you gave up 24 runs in your first, you know, two games. They gave up how many on the weekend? 33 on the weekend. And that is, I think going into it, they were ranked 14th or worse in fielding, ERA, and batting average. And that is just, again, it's not a recipe for winning baseball.
Yeah, the numbers were kind of staggering to me when I saw those. Because we know, obviously, we just said this about South Carolina. We know it even more when we look at LSU's roster in terms of the talent that's there. Like, there was a ton of us that were on board with, are they about to go 3 out of 4 this year? Is that like, that seemed very realistic.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, they just, the lineup, like, I mean, there's just guys like Omar Serna, I was so high on, because you look at his numbers in the spring and or in the fall, and they were like, they have that whole stat sheet. It's like, here's how many balls that were hit over 100 miles an hour. And like, all of them in one fall hit more than I did my entire life playing baseball from at any level through college. And like, but Omar Serna is like a kid that was supposed to be a top 2 round draft pick. And he ends up coming there, and you have Curiel and all that. Like, I don't think Stanfield being out has really hurt you as much as like, especially offensively. So it's been a very slow start, but we'll see. You know, now they get to the easy portion of the schedule. They play the SEC where everybody's ranked in the top 10. So that's super fun.
Now they're locked in.
Let's look at the bracket. We've talked enough baseball. March is one of my favorite times of the year because this next weekend is easily top 5 weekends in sports because it's just absolute madness. There's a reason that we say that, right? Like it's going to be insane. But I do kind of feel like this year is a little chalky when we, especially at the top.
Yeah.
Especially at the top. Now, Duke's injuries kind of concern me in terms of their ability to make a deep run, but they do have some depth behind them, and I love John Shire. When we look at the SEC, though, specifically, Craig kind of had this take about Mark Pope earlier in terms of they get matched up with Michigan. If they lose that game, is that it for him, or can he solidify himself by winning the game? Is which team for you guys, anybody can answer this, do you see making the deepest run? Florida's obviously been the pick. But do you see a path for somebody else to get hot and take this a little off course?
I personally think I said this going into probably the last couple weeks of the season, that I am going to put way too much stock for my bracket personally into Darius Acuff. And
you should.
I will probably ride with Arkansas way more than I should. I was saying this like at the end of the season, and lo and behold, they end up going and making a run in the SEC tournament, all that kind of stuff. And granted, they didn't have to face Florida, who that was pretty shocking to see them lose just the way they lost to Vandy. I think Vandy continues to be for some reason like overlooked. I mean, after beating Florida by 19 a day later, they're still not on the four seed line, which I just thought that was. Like, it just seemed kind of surprising to me how they were on that line for most of the entire year, no matter what they did. Mm-hmm. Just to see them not move up or down at all was kind of odd. I think it's Arkansas. It's not just Acuff. I mean, Brazil is so good and versatile and everything like that. They're big down low. Pringle's not a good enough scorer to really do anything offensively, but he's as you saw today, really, really good defensively. They got another big guy down there as well. But then the guards and like, whether it's Malik Thomas or it's the guy with three names, it sounds like a president from the 1800s, like Billy Richmond III or whatever, or even if, you know, DJ Wagner starts going, I'm very high on them.
We've been high on them for a long time. And, coming out of last year, so they made the run last year, Arkansas did, in the NCAA tournament, and they were able to bring enough guys back off of that team that I'm looking at a guy like DJ Wagner, I'm looking at a guy like Trevin Brazil who went off today, on both ends of the floor, right? And then we were able to see them add Acuff to this mix. And we know that the tournament is oftentimes a guard-driven type of basketball environment. And so if you have that clutch, can go toe-to-toe. Remember the game, and how could we not, right, between Arkansas and Alabama when we have Filon and Acuff going at it, and you get extra time here when it goes into double overtime, and Acuff's 1 point away from 50, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think under on his points that night, so that was fun.
Oh,
it's about the same as people that took the under on Bam a few nights ago.
Yeah, I was like 24. That's insane. Surely not. And he's got like 24 in the first 7 minutes or something stupid.
Yeah. So, but I think that's the type of game that Arkansas Alabama matchup that we saw, where that's a tournament type of game where those two scoring guards are going to be the ones that take over. Okay. And put it on their back. And that's what Florida had last year, and they don't have this year. And I heard somebody say this week, I don't remember what radio show it was, that Florida has kind of figured out their identity, and they're playing more through their bigs. And, I'm not trying to – we typically do the I was wrong segment around here, and this has turned into more me patting my back. But I said Thomas Houck was the best player on that team at the beginning of the year. And that turned out to be true. I think that as Florida shifted and began to play more as this lengthy team and play to their strengths instead of trying to run it through Boogie Flynn and God forbid Xavier Lee be the one who really needs the ball in his hands on that team. But as they've shifted, they've become more dangerous. But I agree, Chris. If it's Acuff, if I have to take one player that's going to catapult some team, that's the kid that I want in my corner. And I would say that about any team in this tournament.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Arizona and Jaden Bradley, who's got stones too.
He's been good. Vandy can score, but they're in Florida's bracket. So they will most likely face them in their region. So they'll most likely face them in second round. Like I really want to believe in Alabama, but they cannot play defense. They just refuse to play defense. And then they try to play defense. They are incapable of not fouling when they are trying to play good defense. I don't even think it's a live and die from three thing with them this time. I just think that they don't play good enough defense. Because Filon is everything you just said about Acuff. He is, I don't say at a lesser level, because that feels like a disservice to him. But he, like, no one's on A-Cup's level at that point. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's been kind of like one of the most elite, like game changers late in the season. Filon can do that and take over games. I just don't know if their defense is ever going to give up less than 80 points.
I'm going to take Alabama. I'm going to say Nate Oates, because, again, here's what I did in the college football playoff. Listen
to what he just said?
I did. I understand.
I don't like the Michigan matchup at all.
No, listen. That's where I see Alabama going out. But I see a path for Alabama getting that way. It'll be interesting
if they can get their snaps. Last time they faced each other, Michigan was stealing signs and all that kind of crap, and their famous center couldn't get a damn snap down. So you're not wrong. Yeah. Michigan's
Alabama good. And Clemson both playing in Tampa. Just saying.
Should we take a trip?
We should. We really should.
Allie's family's from down there, so they're not far from. Are they playing it at Amalie or whatever it is?
Yeah. It's a new name. It's longer and more. You can't pronounce it either.
Billy Richmond III Arena. That's awesome.
Billy Richmond III is a great name, Chris. But of course, Chandler Bing from Vanderbilt, best name in the tournament. We've already talked about it once tonight. Not Chandler Bong. It is Chandler Bing for the Vanderbilt Commodores.
I texted Tom Hart during his broadcast because I knew he was going to do it for one, but I didn't know that there was a player named Chandler Bing, and he had some like dunk or something, and he goes, "That's Chandler Bong to you." And I was like, you know, it's just only millennials, like elder millennials and housewives that got that reference. Yeah. It was awesome.
Which one am I? Because I got it. Yeah. I can't think of Chandler Bing without saying Chandler Bong.
It's Miss Chandler Bong.
Is it pure Cal for him to go out in this weekend or next weekend? Like win the SEC championship and I hate to say it.
We can't put too much stock in conference tournaments sometimes, and teams just fall off a cliff after being really hot.
But how often did Cal, like, especially towards the end in Lexington, stub his toe early, right? And stub his toe before it. I know Casey's shaking his head, but there's another hot take. I've got Alabama, and I've got Cal going out.
He's just here
early.
For takes.
Dude, I hope they do. I thought there's like not a lot of things that I'll get like mad about with Kentucky because like they're usually like pretty irrelevant most of the time and things. But like watching that fan base turn on him that he wasn't doing good enough and then give these resources $22 million for a roster in basketball and to be that average. And I'm pulling for Cal whenever those two ever meet. But I don't really want Kentucky fans to have a leg to stand on in that argument, which I don't think that they're, I'll just turn off the mentions after this. I don't know if they're smart enough to realize that they don't have a leg to stand on in that argument if he doesn't do well.
Clip that one.
Okay. I have one more segment. If you guys, everybody good to hang around for like 10 minutes?
I have one more question for Chris.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I'm used to it. What was your reaction with Auburn being left out of the tournament?
Oh man, I wish I was skinnier, but I could use this analogy because this is the only one I could think of. First off, my fiance is an Auburn grad.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at rss.com.
I will try to pull for Auburn so she's happy as often as possible. It doesn't make it not funny how much of a cliff they've fallen off of because they're the ones that labeled themselves an everything school. And now they are pretty much a nothing school. Even Equestrian, South Carolina is better at Equestrian than they are. And I believe Georgia is as well. Like they're a nothing school at this point. And so watching them make the argument, which was like I watched 4 months ago, 3 months ago, them argue with like Bama fans, like making a case to make the college football playoff and how stupid it was that they had these losses because and like the win that they had against Georgia shouldn't have counted because how bad the losses were. And then 3 short months later and zero self-awareness involved, they were just like, hey, we played 17 games against quad one opponents. Like, listen, if you played 17 games against quad one opponents, you only won 4 of them, Like if I told you I was going to the gym six times a week, that's great on paper. But if I'm sitting in the fucking parking lot eating hot dogs for five of those 6 days, that doesn't really hold up a lot of weight in my argument. Like that's like, that's not impressive, guys. You have to win those games. Excuse my language. But I mean, it's just like at some point you guys, one of my friends was a big Auburn fan. He was telling me, he's like, yeah, well, you just don't know what it's like to make two Final Fours. And I was like, you're about to make three because you're going to be in the NIT this year. You might make a run in that one too. So,
hey, the college basketball crown in Las Vegas may take a stab at grabbing Auburn instead of the NIT. Might be a little more fun in Vegas. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Speaking of Auburn.
Ian Pearl gets an allowance from his dad before he goes out there.
Speaking of Auburn, every spring, Craig and I, for those of you who are new to the show and have been brought in by Chris and all of his fun tonight, thanks again, Chris, for being with us. And you and Casey, feel free to stick around here and chime into this because I would love your input. I think that both of you bring a great perspective when it comes to this. We pick the schedule of one team per week. Okay. And this is a football schedule. So we work our way through, and again, air quotes, spring football. Mm-hmm. Not really sure. Craig sent us the temps in Michigan today. I'm not really sure that they think it's spring up there, but
3 feet of snow in the UP.
We work our way through one team a week. So we've already done Arkansas, South Carolina, Mississippi State. This week is Auburn week. Okay. And it's time to pick the schedules. Craig and I have been uncharacteristically high on Auburn the past 2 years, and Hugh burned us not once, but twice.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do this year? Craig, did you happen to get that filled out?
Yes, I got it filled out. Okay, what do you perfect. Think? I'm not going to prepare for the show? Come on.
All right.
Who do you think I am?
Week one. Baylor in Atlanta. In the Bins.
Absolutely hate that this game is in Atlanta. This game should be on the Plains. It's still going to be a win for the Tigers.
I agree. I'm taking Auburn there too. We talked a little bit. Like
Baylor's a dumpster fire. Can we just talk about that for a second? Like, how is Dave Aranda still have a job?
That's fair.
Is it because he's just like smarter and he probably outtalks whatever AD? Not that his AD actually was employed, but like, how is Dave Aranda still there? What has he done at Baylor to actually get that job? Big 12 Sunday
hasn't
night.
Had any murderers or sexual assault problems. I mean, I think the bar's pretty low.
I didn't have to say it, Casey. That's awesome.
All right, so
someone's got to say it.
A win in Atlanta.
That Atlanta game. Listen, as somebody that lived in Atlanta for like 30 plus years, there's more Auburn fans in Atlanta than there are in Auburn. So, like, that is a home game for sure.
It is. It's just I'm sick of these NFL neutral site games, and
I agree.
It's like the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Okay, it's in Athens. And it's on the Plains, okay? It's the same thing with the cocktail party. Get out of Jacksonville. Go play in Athens. Go play in the Swamp. I'm so sick of these NFL games. I'm just in these NFL stadiums. Just stop.
But the Benz is really nice. And,
yeah, and listen, the Benz is very nice. I've been there a number of times. I've seen Alabama and Jalen Hurts rip my Bulldogs' hearts out. It's fine. I get it. But I'm tired of it.
I did both. You know, we obviously talked about it here, but I did both opening weekend games in Atlanta last year and sat in two different places, one for Tennessee Syracuse and a different place for South Carolina Virginia Tech.
How much did our narrative change from those first week?
Honest opinion about South Carolina football for the 2025 season, the moment Lenore Sellers dragged that safety into the end zone. Because I was like, there might win the national championship.
I sat back and went, yeah, my 10-2 prediction on the show in April looks pretty good right now.
Mike Shula is going to take this team to new heights.
And, you know, nobody could have seen, Chris, that he was just going to rip out everything they'd been successful with and say, you know what we should do? What Cam Newton did in the NFL 10 years ago.
Not run them. They got inside the 10-yard line, which happened maybe seven times all year, it felt like. But they were like, they got inside the 10-yard line. He was like, okay, we've got 10 yards to gain or even less. Who's our best offensive player? Who's our only offensive player? What if we don't give him the ball at all? And they're like, yeah, do that. Do that, Mike.
Are we saying South Carolina football was bad just like South Carolina baseball was bad?
It's been a tough year.
Groundbreaking news here on the Chief Sports Network.
All right, Southern Miss in week two before Craig takes us down the path again. Southern Miss in week two. It's a win. It's a win, right? Okay. I'm not arguing that. Okay. It gets interesting week three, though. Florida comes to town. I'm going to let you go first.
I am taking the Fighting John Summerall's to win this game. This will be Auburn's first loss on the year.
I'm actually taking Auburn here. Battle of first year coaches. Yeah. I need to see who
Gators quarterback is.
That's exactly it. Because this is a toss up for me and it's on the Plains. So that's one strike against Florida. We don't know who the quarterback is or how well he's going to work in the system or how well Buster Faulkner is going to shift and change.
Do not bring Buster Faulkner slander on this podcast.
I've said it a million times. I think that Florida needs to be high flying on offense when they're good. And I've talked to some Florida people who have been connected to Summerall, and they have said that Buster Faulkner has said on and off the record, they're going to sling it. If they sling it, then maybe they'll be okay. But I like Byron Brown, and we know what we're getting out of him. We don't know what we're getting in Florida at the quarterback position. We just don't.
I think some people say that Buster Faulkner is the second most impressive Parkview Panther to ever graduate. So I would say – Casey, don't. He's Frank Horse 3. No, I'm kidding. But I think I don't disagree with what you're saying with the Summerall thing. I think what the point about the quarterback is the big thing for me. I don't know how good Auburn's going to be. I do think they'll be better. I believed in them when Hugh had all that money in the roster. They've spent $30 million on this roster, and I keep looking at it, and I'm like, where did you get significantly better at? And I'm not saying that just to crap on Auburn. I'm more so saying it like this time at least. I'm more so saying it like, I think Byron Brown is great, but it's funny to me that you look at this team and they beat Florida last year at USF with probably a more talented Florida team. But like Auburn's, the way they decided to hire a coach like before with Hugh Freeze was, well, he beat Alabama 10 years ago twice. And then this time around, they were like, okay, we got to hire someone new. Cannot be Hugh Freeze again. They're like, what if we got a guy that almost beat Alabama twice? And they're like, bingo, let's get Alex Golish.
I love it. Okay. Week four, Vanderbilt on the Plains. I'll start here. I'm picking Auburn again. I have Auburn starting 4-0 because I don't believe in Jared Curtis. And that's my hot take of the offseason. And I'll continue to stand on it until he shows me in the fall that I'm wrong. I believe the gap that is left by Pavia and the learning curve for Curtis is going to leave them in a world of hurt.
I don't believe in Clark Lee, so I am totally taking Auburn. I think Clark Lee comes rocketing back to Earth this year.
I will say the Pavia thing, I don't believe in that one as much. Those aren't exactly the biggest shoes to fill. But I also understand. Like, I think true freshman – It's at Auburn, right? Like I too think they're going to start 4-0.
Yeah. Okay, so then they have to go to Tennessee, and this is where I see them getting their first loss. Even though we have a lot of questions about the quarterback in Knoxville as well, and that's going to be kind of up in the air. And Auburn's going to come in confident. If they're 4-0, then that's going to be a different type of team going up to Knoxville. But this becomes for me a situation where I think that the talent is at least comparable, and Knoxville is a decent home field advantage, right? That's what I've heard.
Pretty good.
I've heard a player or two name it number one.
Were they from South Carolina?
Among other places in the league, yeah.
Not Georgia.
No, most of the Georgia players I've talked to were back in that 2010 period, and they say Williams-Brice.
Anyway. I am going to take Auburn because here's the difference maker. Ready? It can be a higher scoring game. DJ Durkin is the difference in this one. Tennessee's got a new defensive coordinator. They're going to be working on a new system. Auburn will have continuity on both offense and defense. That defensive continuity will limit Josh Heupel, and the student will beat the teacher.
I will push back on that by saying – the Durkin stuff, I think Durkin's a very underrated piece of the puzzle for Auburn. They only return three starters on the team. It's the lowest amount in the SEC, and two of those are on defense. The continuity part of that, I don't necessarily agree with as much. I do think also the thing with Jim Knowles being hired there at Tennessee, I think is one of the most, like, I think it's one of the biggest difference makers of any team this season. His defense is, like, traditionally it takes a minute for the to, like, sink in and everyone to get on the same page. Like I agree with you on that part, Craig.
Yep.
I personally, and I hate saying this, I hate saying anything nice about Tennessee. I personally think that they are going to be one of the better teams in the conference and compete for a potential spot in the playoff, because the way their schedule sets up and the fact that you're going to combine hype on that offense. I have zero doubt that whoever his quarterback is going to put up a ton of numbers in that offense, because every first year quarterback he's had has put up a ton of numbers. Nico actually had the worst season out of any first year quarterback he's had, dating back to when he was the OC at Mizzou, even with Drew Locke. Pairing him with that defense, they get Tristan Keys, the five-star freshman receiver coming in, Mike Matthews, another former Parkview Panther, five-star receiver, going into year three. They've got a lot of talent there. I think the offensive line should get better. David Sanders Jr. should play the whole year. They have another five-star kid that could possibly play at right tackle. I think they're going to be, as much as I hate to say it, I think they're going to be much better than people are giving them credit for right now.
I think we need to have you back on for Tennessee, because we can't seem to find anyone who wants to talk
Tennessee. None of them, they don't want to talk to us. None of them want to talk to us.
They don't want Tennessee, to talk to me.
Tennessee media. They don't want to talk to us. All right. Oh. Okay. So then they have a bye week.
I was going to go on a whole diatribe about Tennessee, but then I realized I'm like, yeah, we probably got to go to the next
one. The one team I don't cover, as Casey knows.
I'm gonna group the next three together, and I'm going to do what I did to Casey last week and put us in a bad spot here. But, Chris, you'll be the recipient of my shot this week. All right, 3 weeks. At Georgia, hosting LSU, at Ole Miss, which game is the most probable win for Auburn? Because if I have them losing all three. Craig, you got them losing all three?
I don't.
Oh.
Craig, okay. But I can't wait.
The contrarian.
Do tell.
LSU.
Well, we all know Lane sometimes can get a little goofy. And especially when
you're so mad at him. You're so mad at him what he did.
He shouldn't have turned his back on Oxford, and then maybe I would.
You're so mad at him. That is.
I also don't believe
it's petty, but so is he. Shout out to the Cavender twins.
Yeah. I'm going to be totally petty. I think Lane gets cocky, and this one's going to be at night. It's going to be loud, and Lane is going to lay an egg.
Marler.
That'll be the night after my wedding. I cannot wait. I know.
Sorry. Our wedding?
I know.
It's on Friday, though. It's good.
It's on a Friday, yeah. So we're going to have a huge, like, all day Saturday, everyone, instead of doing, like, a getaway brunch day, we're having a massive, it'll probably be more fun than the wedding. We're going to have, like, a massive cookout in the backyard with like, 10 TVs and all that kind of stuff. So
Auburn hosting LSU is with an Auburn grad wife.
Yeah, Auburn wife with a LSU on the road, so like living in Baton Rouge, that'll be it won't be as difficult. But I I'm huge and very high on LSU this year because of what's the one issue they've had the last 2 years? Offense and having
Brian Kelly
balance on offense. Also Brian Kelly, but he's like the nicest dude. He was the nicest dude, and every time we met him in the presser, Chris, how you doing? How are you and fiance enjoying Baton Rouge? Like so, what's your favorite part so far? And I'm like, you're like the Dabo question, Casey.
Yeah,
that was me that asked it.
Oh, I know.
I was.
You've been my favorite ever since.
I realized afterwards, I was like, "Oh, he's not the best." So he is a problem. But the offense is going to be great, and I think that's going to take a huge step forward. They have the one reason I'm high on South Carolina, they did a really good job in the portal, high school recruiting, and also one of the biggest parts that we don't talk about is retention. LSU retained a lot of really good players off of last year's team. Auburn's going to go 0-3 in that. The one I think that is the best chance they have to win is Ole Miss. And that's – I don't really have a lot of faith in them beating Ole Miss necessarily, but I also don't see why everyone thinks Ole Miss is potentially a top 5 or 10 team in the country.
Agreed.
They could just go either way, couldn't they? You could see them, you know, going back to 10-2.
I respect, and some that I don't, that are like, they're going to be a top 5 team. And I'm like, in what sport? I just don't see. They lost a ton. And Pete Golding, I mean, are we just that convinced in year one?
We have no clue. We have no clue.
Right. So, I don't know.
Okay. We got 6 minutes. Let's wrap it up here. The next grouping is the kind of the opposite way. Arkansas at Mississippi State and Samford. Craig, do you have them dropping any of those three? No. Or are those going to be three wins?
I am back on the Auburn train.
I got three wins as well.
Mrs. Marler will be very excited because, you know, it'd be something fantastic. Like that McMichael guy knows his crap.
Three straight wins. Yeah.
And then that gives us at Bama and Brian Denny.
So that's the day after our divorce. And so that'll be. No, they're playing it in Brian Denny. I think Bama's going to take a step back. I do not think it's going to be nearly as bad as people think. I think that he's going to find a quarterback in Keelan Russell that is much better than people
Thank
realize.
You. Thank
he's
you.
The highest ranked recruit in the history of the program. Like, not Julio, not Bryce Young. Not
Thank you.
It's Keelan. I do think they're going to take a step back. I do. And I think, Rob, I've said this repeatedly too. The Bama game is one of the first games they get in September, and I think Bama's still going to be in trying to figure out who their quarterback is. So that's when I think that Carolina could sneak up on them. But I think for that game, Auburn is going to lose for the seventh time in a row. We're going to have to either reinstate COVID around the country for Auburn to be good at something again, or everyone's going to have to really get into equestrian.
Or you could have hired Gus Malzahn. You know, I could have maybe done something.
I mean, it's so funny when I hear them, and there's a couple other programs too, but especially Auburn that are like screaming to fire Hugh Freeze, and they probably should have, but screaming to fire Brian Harsin. It's like, what part of your track record and history of hiring coaches
Thank you.
Across the board has been so impressive to yourselves that you're like, yeah, we nailed that one. We should do this all over again.
This is where we get into it. Craig and I get into it all the time about this patience and hiring. I think that this, and I said Florida earlier when I was talking about Auburn, and then I said, well, I kind of hold them parallel.
Yeah.
The quick trigger has dug the hole so much deeper than what it was before the first trigger.
And they're comparing themselves to, one, how good they used to be, but then they're also comparing themselves to their rivals. And like,
exactly.
That's where they keep going awry, because you're like, Florida comparing, we should be better than Georgia. Like, well, you're not. And you're not going to be. So you need to have a little bit better of like self-realization of what's going on there. Because I think I'm with you, Rob. I thought Beamer should have got an extra year. I think a lot of these other coaches that get into year three, they should be getting to year four. If you want to fire Hugh because he underperformed, totally fine. The Brian Harsin thing was hilarious to me. Because like the Brian Harsin thing was like, not just because of how ridiculous those fans were, but like they brought him in and immediately he's like, he's not a good fit. It's like, well, you guys made the hire. Did you not see?
Like yesterday. You hired him yesterday.
It's just, I mean, I don't know if Gus Malzahn has a son and he can strong arm his way into getting him to be the head coach, but that also hasn't worked out well for Auburn.
But like, but here's the thing I would say with Hugh Freeze, and
so good.
You can just go back and listen to the story. I've never been a fan of Hugh Freeze. Like, well, I was a fan of Hugh Freeze, and then, you know, some burner stuff happened and kind of went a different way with it. But like at Auburn, at no point did we see anything a semblance of a pulse.
No.
And like, you know, you looked at it, there are times where he should just ran the damn ball and he could have won some games. But
dude,
he just
2 years ago, that was just a disaster.
Yeah, I mean,
it was give him
just
the ball.
A disaster. Like, and that's what I didn't figure out. So like, to me, like I thought Hugh was probably, whatever reason that didn't work. He probably should have just stuck at Liberty in the hospital bed. He probably been really good there. That would have been a perfect spot for him. I'm sure Jamie Chadwell probably wants to be somewhere else besides Liberty. But like, you know, I have hope for Golsh. But again, like you worry about it. But like my biggest concern is John Cohen as an athletic director.
Yeah.
He has not shown himself. You know, one of the people I hold on the highest on my list is Chris Del Conte at Texas. He has took a dysfunctional booster program and has brought alignment to a program to get it going. We know that Auburn is dysfunctional and that the boosters have had a lot of control. We can look at why Gus Malzahn was gone, and then we had Kevin Steele, and then we all of a sudden we had Brian Harsin. Like, there was a lot of just chaos there. And I think until you get the athletic director part right, I don't know how the rest of it's going to come in, because you need everything going in the same direction if you're going to be thinking about 9, 10, 11 wins. That's where I will agree with you with Tennessee. Danny White, Josh Heupel.
Yeah.
They're pushing in that same direction. They're going in the same direction. And I've been very positive on Heupel. I think he's done a fantastic job there. But, like, that's the biggest challenge. And that's the biggest problem I see with Auburn.
I think Freeze also, to be honest, like, I think that he enjoyed being right more than he enjoyed winning games. And there's times when he had Peyton Thorne in there and he's like, he's openly talking about how bad of a quarterback he is and how he doesn't do these things right. But it's like, you're the one that keeps putting him back out there. And that you brought up the run game, Rob, from 2 years ago, and I'll sign off on this. This is one of my favorite stats with Auburn. Jarquez Hunter was one of the best running backs in the SEC, right? He played. Do you want to have how many career games he played in? It was 46. Do you know how many career games he had over 20 carries?
That was the number.
38. Oh,
And he averaged 215 yards per game in those games.
Yep.
And then they just refused to hand him the football. And it was like,
yep. We talked about it week after week. We would come back on and go, how many carries did he have this week? They lost it. They lost again. He gave it to him. Oh, 11 times this week.
Like 11 or 12. And like,
you couldn't have given it to him nine more times, Hugh?
The whole offense would have been hand off to Jarquez Hunter, throw it to Cam Coleman, hand it off again. Throw it again. That would have been the whole thing.
All right. This is SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. Thank you again to the esteemed and award-winning producer of the Message Board Genius Podcast, Casey Cregan, for being with us. Tickling our ears once again, Casey, as you read the boards. Shout out to Chris Marler for dropping in and talking about all things. The pain of baseball and some of the most storied programs in the conference, and a little basketball action too as we get into the brackets, and then also breaking down Auburn football. Man, you just hit the trifecta. We're around the world with you today. Make sure you let everybody know. I saw another new gig on X this week. So if you want to, I don't have your baseball card with me, but if you have the laundry list of ways that people can hear your voice, please let them know.
I'm glad I don't have a baseball card, because the stat line in the back would not have been great. but in the baseball pants in the front, that would have been nice. Vern_Fundquist on, I think that's right. Isn't that right? Yeah. I've lost four accounts, so I don't know.
We tagged you like four times tonight, so surely they can find that one at least.
But there for Twitter, and then LouisianaSports.net for all things SEC related. And I'm going to go take the dog out, but appreciate it, boys. You guys have a great night.
Yep, absolutely. SEC Sunday Night live on the Chief Sports Network. I'm Rob Williams. He's Craig McMichael. We'll be back next week to look at opening weekend of the college basketball tournament and some more baseball. And, of course, we're right back at it with spring football here in the SEC. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.